नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनते नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग from the 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So I'll do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. So this chapter is titled as Vibhuti Yoga or the opulence of the absolute. After Krishna glorifies the path of pure devotional service in the 9th chapter, he starts this chapter interestingly by telling भूय एव महाबाहो शृणुमे परमं वचः यत्तेहं प्रियमानाय वक्ष्यामि हितकाम्यया। ही स्टार्ट्स बाय टेलिंग भूय एव महाबाहो शृणुमे परमं वचः, अगेन प्लीज हियर माय सुप्रीम टीचिंग्स व्हिच आई विल स्पीक टू यू। एंड व्हाई आई एम गोइंग टू स्पीक टू यू अर्जुन, प्रियमानाय, बिकॉज यू आर क्वालिफाइड विथ प्रेम, एंड हितकाम्यया, एंड आई डिजायर योर बेनिफिट, देयरफॉर आई एम गोइंग टू स्पीक टू यू दिस particular subject matter. So it is mentioned that in this 10th chapter he is going to speak about the confidential elements of bhakti and also about the vibhutis of the Supreme Lord, the material vibhutis. Material vibhutis means but the material powers. So by knowing the powers of the Lord, one understands that the Lord is worthy of worship. He is worthy of worship. And these powers have been described starting from the 7th chapter onwards, you know, in verses like Nachamatstani, Matstani Sarva Bhutani, Nachaham Teshu Avastitaha, Nachamatstani Bhutani, Pashyame Yogamaishwaram, Bhutabrin Nachabhutasto, Mamatma Bhutabhavanaha. Oh, sorry, those are 9th chapter. In the 7th chapter, he spoke about Bhumirapo Analo Vayu Kammano Buddhi Revacha Ahamkar Iti Amme Vinna Prakriti Rashtada Apareyam Itastvanyam Prakatim Vidhime Param Jeeva Bhuta Mahabaho Yedam Darite Jagat, and so on. In those verses, Krishna describes his own material vibhutis and he elaborates on those vibhutis in this particular 10th chapter. And by understanding about these vibhutis, one develops a proper respect towards the Supreme Lord, which is very, very essential. Okay. So, therefore, the Lord, because this subject matter is difficult to understand, even though this seems to be very easy, but then actually this is very confidential subject matter. Therefore, Bhuyaha, he says, I am going to repeat it again because it's difficult to comprehend also. So, he says that Mahabaho, Krishna is addressing Arjuna as Mahabaho because just like you have very powerful arms, you display your powerful arms by fighting, in the same way, please show the power of your intelligence by trying to understand this topic and listen while I am going to speak to you. And why does he specifically say Shrunu here? Shrunu here means, yes, I have spoken about so many things, but right now what I am going to speak, you hear that with attention. That's what is the meaning of Shrunu here. Which means these words are even superior to what I have spoken before. That's what it means. So, then he says, Name viduhu suragana prabhavamna maharshayaha aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvashaha. Actually, Arjuna, not only human beings, but even the demigods and the sages cannot understand me, understand about my birth. Why? Because aham adir hi devanam maharshinam cha sarvashah. Because I am their source. just like the son cannot know about the birth of the father, how it happened, from whom it happened, unless the father reveals it to the son. Similarly, those who are up, who appear from the Supreme Lord, they cannot know about the birth of the Supreme Lord unless the Lord himself reveals it to them. So even the Maharshis were born out of him, so they cannot possibly know about the birth of the Supreme Lord unless Krishna chooses to reveal it to them. Yomam ajam anadim cha vetti loka maheshwaram asam mudahasya martyesho sarva papaihi pramuchyate. One who understands that I am unborn, yet I take birth, that I am beginningless, yet I have a beginning in the form of birth. And also one who understands Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, I am the Lord of all the planets. Such a person, is freed from all the sins in this world. Saha Martyeshu Sarva Papaihi Pramuchyate. He is freed from all the sins in this world. And he performs bhakti without any impediments. Okay. So, Krishna says that he who knows that I am without birth and I am beginningless, he is free from sin. Ajopisan, avyayatma, bhutanam, ishwaropisan. So, that's what Krishna says. Ajopisan, avyayatma. Bhutanam Ishwaropisan Swam Prakritim Adishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. Krishna says in the fourth chapter, when talking about the secret nature of his birth, he says that one who understands that I am Ajaha, I am unborn, but at the same time Sambhavami, I appear. So one who accepts my birth to be real and my nature of being unborn to be real, ajopisan avyayatma, and I have a body which does not deteriorate, which means those who accept my material, my body to be not material but transcendental. Bhutanam Ishwaraha, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, as it is mentioned in this particular verse. Swam Prakritim Adishtaya Sambhavami. And those who understand that when I take birth, unlike the Jiva who takes shelter of my material energy, if people understand that my body is not made of my material energy, but it is made of my transcendental Chit Shakti, Sambhavami, and I appear out of my own free will. I am not forced to appear by the laws of karma. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. In this way, those who understand the nature of my birth and activities to be transcendental, he does not have to take birth again and he attains my nature, O Arjuna. This is what Krishna says in the fourth chapter. Same thing he is indicating here about the transcendental nature of this, of his birth and activities. Yomam ajam anadim cha vetti loka maheshwaram asam mudah sarva martyeshu sarva papaihi pramuchyate. That person is amongst all the living entities, that person is not bewildered. He has the right knowledge and he will escape all the influence of sins in this world if he understands that my being born and my being beginningless and at the same time my taking birth. One who knows that all of this is true and transcendental and he accepts both, he is actually really intelligent and he is freed from all the sins. Okay. So, he says that he who knows that I am unborn and also born to Vasudev and I am still without beginning is freed from all sins. I am born, but I am still anadi. I don't have a beginning. So such a person really understands my true nature. And he is freed from all the sins. Okay. So, so both these conditions are absolute truth. And how can both be true that he is unborn yet being born? That is only possible due to the Achintya Shakti of the Supreme Lord. Ajopi Sannavyayatma. Okay. And this is what Uddhava also said, as we saw last time. Karmani anihasya bhavo abhavasyate. Durga shrayo ata aribalat palayanam. Kalatmanoya pramadayutashrama. Swatman ratehe kidyati dir vidamiha. So he says that karmani anihasya. You are without action, but you perform action. Bhavaha abhavasyate. You are without birth, but you still take birth. How is this possible? And both are real. Okay. So, how do the Mayavadis reconcile this? Mayavadis say, his being unborn is real, his taking birth is just an illusion. And his being without action is real, and his performing action is an illusion. Okay. Kalatmano yat pramada yutashrama. So, kalatmano atha aribayat palayanam. And his running away out of fear of either the enemies or out of fear of Mother Yashoda, this is an illusion. But he is being the personification of time, instilling fear in everyone. That is real. Okay. So, like that, whenever action, birth, everything is involved, they say it is Maya, 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 Maya. And whenever no birth, no action is involved, they say, oh, this is real, this is real, this is real. So, this is the way they reconcile. And such kind of reconciliation means that they are bewildered. They are under illusion. Swatman ratehi kidyati dir vidamika. And he says that Swatman ratehe pramada yutashrama. Krishna is said to be Atmaram, completely self-satisfied. But still, he seems to take lot of pleasure from the queens of Dwaraka. So, Uddhava says, the most intelligent people are bewildered by these contradictions. Bewildered here means not that they are very upset. Bewildered means they cannot reconcile it. It is they accept it as inconceivable. That is the meaning of kidyati dhir vidamiha. So this, they accept. So here, kidyati dhihi. Kidyati dihi means, you know, their intelligence is bewildered. Bewildered here means they are unable to conceive it. Which means they accept that Krishna does both of this through his inconceivable energy. Whereas the Mayavadis, they do not accept. They say that the absolute truth being Atmarama is real, but when he is trying to derive pleasure from the queens of Dwaraka, he is just acting. This is not real. This is not real. This is just an illusion. So he says that those who try to reconcile it and are not bewildered by these things, they are actually foolish. Because truly intelligent people are bewildered by this. Why? Because they understand that it is inconceivable. This is the Achintya Shakti of the Supreme Lord. This is the Achintya Shakti of the Supreme Lord. Karmani anihasya. So, he performs, the Shastras say that he has no actions. So, they understand that no actions means no material actions. No material actions which are inspired by three modes. But he performs actions which are naturally inspired by love. Bhavo abhavasyate. The Shastra say that he does not take birth, but his birth, his appearance is also real. They accept it. But that appearance, they understand that he appears out of his own free will. He is not forced by karma to appear. And when he appears in his own transcendental form. That form is not made of matter. All of these they know. If they know all these things, why they are bewildered? They are bewildered because they can't tell how could, they can't explain how could someone appear out of their own free will. How could someone appear with transcendental body? This is not seen in this world. So only because of the Achintya Shakti of the Supreme Lord can appear like that. But his appearance is also real. And his and his performance and his non-appearance means that he does not take birth in impelled by the karma. They are not Krishna is not forced to appear. So which means he does not have a normal material birth. Swatman ratehe kidyati swatman ratehe pramadayutashramam. Even though the Shastras say that the Lord is without, he is Atmaram, he is completely self-satisfied. True, that is true. But at the same time, the Lord is pleased with the activities of the queens. Yes, that is also true. How both can be true? The devotees say, oh, that is because the queens are manifestations of his own internal energy. So someone may say, oh, so you have now reconciled, then why should you be confused? Confusion is because Krishna's manifestation of Krishna's internal energy is very inconceivable to ordinary human beings. We are just accepting it based on faith. Oh, it is Krishna's inconceivable nature, in Krishna's inconceivable energy. So when we are accepting the inconceivable nature of Krishna based on faith, that does not mean we are not bewildered. We are bewildered, but we are reconciling it, telling that, oh, Krishna's nature is inconceivable. That's all. Inconceivable means it's bewildering. Okay. So, like that. Then Krishna says, Buddhir jnanam asammohah kshama satyam damah shamah sukam dukkam bhavo abhavo bayam cha abayam evacha ahimsa samata tushtihi tapodanam yasho ayashah bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva pritak vidah. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from illusion, tolerance, truthfulness, sense control, mind control, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, etc. All these arise from me only. So no one can say that with these kind of qualities, when one develops these kind of qualities, by these qualities, one can understand me. One cannot say like that. Because these qualities arise from me. They arise from me means they arise from my material modes. Some of these qualities are sattvaguni. Some of these qualities are rajoguni. Some of these qualities are tamoguni. So in this way, these qualities arise from the material modes which belong to my maya, which means in essence they are arising from me. So if it is arising from me, then by that one cannot understand Krishna. So that's what he says. So no one can say that, oh, he is extraordinarily endowed. He has passed out of the Indian Institute of Technology. He's a gold medalist from Stanford University. doesn't really matter. Because all that intelligence and knowledge, everything is born out of the material modes. And the Lord is beyond the material modes. So therefore, with these qualities, one cannot understand Krishna unless Krishna's mercy is there. Maharshe Sattapurve Chatvaro Manavastata Madbhava Manasajata Yesham Loka Ima Prajaha. And all these Saptarishis, the four Kumaras, the 14 Manus, they all arose from me. In fact, they all arose from Brahmaji, who is just a Jiva Tattva expansion of me. So how can they understand me? Etam vibhutim yogam cha mamayo vetti tattvatah. So vikalpena yogena yujyate na atra samshayah. So he who understands my vibhutis, my powers, my glories, and yogam cha, and the process of bhakti yoga, which I have described and I will also describe now, and tatvatah, and who accepts this as the highest truth, saha avikalpena yogena yujyate, that person will engage in unflinching devotional service. Na atra samshaya, of this there is no doubt. So what is the purpose of Krishna describing this various vibhutis and the path of devotional service? Because by hearing this, saha avikalpena yogena yujyate, that person will engage in unflinching devotional service. Of this, there is no doubt. Okay. So, that's what he says here. He who knows the vibhutis of which I will speak in summary, and who knows bhakti yoga, then becomes endowed with even stronger faith, thinking that this alone is the highest truth, because my master Krishna had said so. So, then he will be engaged in unflinching devotional service. So, this is what I think we ended last session with this particular verse. So, before we start today's discussion, so today we are going to start a very important section. We are going to discuss about the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. Just when we have completed the Chatushloki Bhagavatam in our morning sessions, we are going to start with the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita now. So, very important section. Of course, because we have been discussing for a long time, this is not going to be something completely new, but nevertheless, this is very important, and the commentary is also very critical. So before we start today's section, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. Either you can raise your hands or type your questions in the chat box, whatever you feel comfortable. There are some questions in the chat box. Let's take those questions first. Okay. Devotees know about Lord and we hear repeatedly. But then why the heart is filled with contaminations of sin? Kindly explain. Yes, sinful tendencies are there because of our many, many lifetimes of living in this material world and trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. So even though now we have understood that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the whole life is meant to serve Krishna, and the whole life is not meant for engaging in sense gratification. But nevertheless, the inertia of past sinful life is very strong. Like Prabhupada gives the example of, if you switch off a fan, the fan will not immediately stop. It will keep running for a while before it stops. So similarly, even though we have understood that bhakti is the topmost, a life of sense gratification is a futile endeavor in this life, we know all these things, but nevertheless, these sinful inclinations and tendencies do not leave us immediately, because the inertia of that is very strong. And that anartha nivritti, our destruction of the sinful tendencies happens very slowly, gradually. And gradually, if we diligently take the right kind of association and keep sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, very quickly these sinful tendencies go away. So, okay, what is freedom from sins means? Freedom from sin here means, he says that the previous verse, fourth verse, right? Yomam ajam anadim cha vetti loka maheshwaram asammudaha samatyeshu sarva papaihi pramuchyate. Sarva papaihi pramuchyate means he is freed from all sins in this world, which means one who has a proper devotional faith, one who is a devotee, for him he is not controlled by karma. He is controlled directly by the by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His life situations are not controlled by karma. That's what it means. Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share as add? Yes, Mohit Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu ji. Dhanvat Pranam. Can you hear me Prabhu ji? Hare Krishna Prabhu ji.
I can hear you. Please speak.
Hanji Prabhu ji. It is said that from Narayan, Brahma, Prajapati, Indra and 8 Vasu, 11 Rudra and 12 Aditya created. So can you little bit explain what is 8 Vasu and 11 Rudra, 12 Aditya, Prajapati? How this creation happened?
It is described in the third canto, Prabhu. You can, the details are there in the third canto. You can refer in the third canto.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare. Okay. So let's continue our discussion. Yes, Shivakumar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Prabhu, one basic question, Prabhu. Now I understand this whole chapter is the description of the material vibhutis, right, Prabhu?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Prabhu, Prabhupada often insists or explains in many of the lectures, he repeats that anything used in Krishna's service is actually should be considered spiritual. But we also understand that that statement is more of a relative, or it's not in in its absolute sense. But the other day, Prabhu, in one of the discussions when we were discussing on the Krishna's form, you were saying that according to the adhikar of the devotee, they do see the Krishna's form in different levels, right, Prabhu? So kind of how do we kind of make this differentiation, Prabhu, in terms of looking at perceiving or understanding the material and spiritual differences in absolute sense versus in a relative sense that anything used in Krishna service is actually spiritual?
Well, anything used in Krishna's service is spiritual in the sense utility of that material object will lead to our spiritual progress, even though we are utilizing a material object there. So in that sense, the end effect is spiritual progress, even though we are utilizing a material object, whether it may be a material object of this world, or it could be our material mind, it could be our material senses, it could be our material intelligence. But when we utilize them in the service of Krishna, even though it's not that they immediately become transcendental as such, but those material objects give rise to a transcendental effect, in the sense one progresses on the path of Krishna consciousness. So that is the way we should understand. But that does not mean they immediately become spiritual. They are spiritual because utilization of మెటీరియల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ గివ్ రైస్ టు మెటీరియల్ కర్మ. ఓకే, దట్ ఈస్ ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్. ఎనీ మెటీరియల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ యూ యూటిలైజ్, ఇఫ్ యూ యూటిలైజ్ ఇట్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ది గైడ్ లైన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ధర్మశాస్త్రాస్, యూ గెట్ పుణ్యకర్మ విచ్ ఇస్ మెటీరియల్, ఆర్ ఇఫ్ యూ మిస్యూస్ ఇట్ యూ గెట్ పాప కర్మ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో మెటీరియల్. బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ యూటిలైజ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ కృష్ణా సర్వీస్, నాట్ దట్ దట్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ బికమ్స్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్, బట్ ద ఎఫెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ యూజింగ్ దట్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఇస్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్. So therefore, in that sense, even though it remains a material object, it gives rise to a utility of that material object, gives rise to a transcendental effect. So in that sense, it becomes, it is, you can say, in practical, in a practical way, it is spiritual. But the moment some materialistic person picks up that object and utilizes it, immediately it generates karma for him. So it's not that a devotee utilizes something in Krishna service, it becomes spiritual, and after that if someone else uses it, it becomes, yeah, but that also is true. You know, it is true in certain things like prasadam. Okay, so prasadam is there when a devotee with all sincerity offers it to the Supreme Lord, you know, that the transcendental effect is there in that prasadam. Even though if you leave that prasadam, the next day it will become stale. Those material aspects will be there, but the transcendental effect of eating that prasadam will be there. Right? So this is true with things of this world. If one utilizes it in the service of Krishna, then the end effect is transcendental. In that sense, you can understand that the objects, when we say that the object becomes spiritual when utilized in Krishna's service, means it gives a spiritual effect because of utilizing it in Krishna's service. That is the understanding.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else before we move forward? Yes, Keshav Priyam.
Harishna Prajadandavapan. Prabhuji, we used to, even just now you said, no, Prabhuji, devotees are not under karma, they are under Krishna's guidance. We are telling, no, Prabhuji. So, actually, what does it mean, Prabhuji? Like, because devotees, they now, they don't follow their mind's instruction, like this, like raga dvesha, and they just follow the instruction of acharya, which in sense is instruction from Krishna. So is it like that, Prabhuji? Like they are changing the value system, like they no longer they go by their mind's instruction, they follow the instructions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra now, Prabhuji. So their life will be taken care by Krishna. Is it like that, Prabhuji?
It's not that they are following, but they are determined to follow. But the determination might sometimes be weak and they may not be able to follow, but they are determined to follow.
We're following also, no, Prabhuji. We're getting up at 4 o'clock, 4 to 6. We are doing chanting, we are reading Bhagavad
Gita. What if you are not able to get up at 4 o'clock and you are not able to chant your 16 rounds, you are able to complete only 12 rounds? Then? Then is it that your life is controlled by karma?
Oh. Then what does it mean, Prabhuji? Like, I couldn't get this. Like, why it is no longer by karma? Because following mind instruction is purely by through karma only. Yeah, because we have got this body to enjoy the karma, what we have done in the previous lifetime. And that is coded in our mind as like three modes are influencing us. And we are just reacting to the past actions. We are reacting now, Prabhuji, as a new reaction. That is purely by karma. But now, we are decided, we are going to follow the instructions of Acharya. That is the change a devotee is making, no, Prabhuji.
But are
Even
you
in the
always
beginning.
able to act according to the instructions of the acharyas?
Not always, Prabhuji, but as you said, we decided to follow his instruction
This is what I'm telling
as far.
you. You have decided to follow, but you are not always able to follow.
Yes, Prabhuji, that is true, Prabhuji.
So,
So,
what is your question?
Prabhuji, because even in devotee's life, everything is happening, no, Prabhuji. Sometimes some people scold us for no reason. Nothing has changed, no, Prabhuji. The external things. We are also undergoing COVID. We are also undergoing everything what a non-devotee is also undergoing, Prabhuji. So I just want to understand that only, Prabhuji. It is not karma, it is by Krishna means what it really means.
It means the reaction that you are getting may not necessarily be a karmic reaction. It is that reaction may be given by Krishna, and if you respond properly to that situation, you may come closer to Krishna. So that reaction that you are getting is not according to the Dharma Shastric regulations, where for particular act, particular kind of reactions are needed. Okay, you have so much prarabdha karma, and according to your prarabdha karma, you will suffer so much. All these things, even though there may be suffering, and from an external point of view, it may look like the suffering is only due to karma, but in reality, it is given by Krishna to his devotee who has agreed to sacrifice his life for him, but still he may perform some mistakes and he may end up doing some actions which are inappropriate. But still, Krishna puts that person, he gives personal punishment to that devotee in such a way that if that devotee responds to that punishment in the right sense, he will come closer to Krishna.
Okay, Prabhuji. So, every like I just want to know. Even we are all in a budding stage, maybe in very beginning stage, Prabhuji. So even for us, it is the same. You told in previous sessions, Prabhuji. So even for a person, maybe me, it is for me. I'm asking like everything what I'm undergoing now will be personally being guided by Krishna, is it, Prabhuji?
See, there are two things. One is karma. Karma vasana is there. So if someone insults you, you become angry and shout back at them. That is not inspired by Krishna. That is inspired by your karma vasana.
Prabhava.
Yeah, that which we call as svabhava. So that karma vasana will not go away immediately. That will gradually only go away. But your situation, whether you may get COVID, which is some kind of, you can call it maybe adidaivik klesha, or someone may chastise you for no mistake of yours, that may be adibhautik klesha, or sometimes you may experience some depression or something like that, that may be adhyatmic klesha. So all these kleshas which devotees also seemingly undergo, that is not due to their prarabdha karma. That is given directly by Krishna. So for a particular reason. So and if we respond to that, to those situations in the right way, then we will come closer to Krishna.
What about our response in a wrong way? What about that action? What in what category that does that come, Prabhuji?
Your response is your responsibility. The external situation is Krishna's responsibility. So if you are responding in a particular way, you are responsible for it.
That
That
means I
Krishna will
get
not influence.
reaction. That means I get reaction for that.
Not karmic reaction.
This is the point I am doubtful, Prabhuji. Because I got your point, Prabhuji. I thoroughly got your point. The situation I am put in is by Krishna, but how I am going to respond is still in my hands. And
Yeah.
if I am responding in a better way, like what Krishna actually wants me to do, then I am safe. If suppose through my main incline by my swabhava, I may react in a different way also. So that different way reaction, I mean action done by me, what is that is going to give to me? What is the result of that to me? That's the point I'm asking.
Is your question what is the result, or is your question who is going to give the result?
What is the result and who is going to? Both, Prabhuji.
The result is whatever Krishna wants to give. Sometimes
what?
Krishna may desire to excuse you and teach you a lesson. Sometimes he may give you such a severe reaction and teach you a lesson.
Correct.
So that is what.
Okay.
Otherwise,
for non-devotee Prabhuji, it is just Paramatma passively, he just gives for our every action, there is a reaction of Prabhuji for general people.
Yeah. Yes.
So that is based on some different system, is it Prabhuji? Some dharmic system or some other system, is it Prabhuji?
That is according to the Dharma Shastras.
Oh, that is purely for non-devotees. Whatever action they do, the reaction they get is by Dharma Shastras.
Yeah.
So since devotees take bhakti, so their reaction may not necessarily be based on Dharma Shastra. It is purely Krishna may give the same reaction, he can change the reaction. I mean, he can change also according to his wish.
Yeah, yeah. He can give a more severe reaction also.
Okay, Prabhuji. But ultimately, I should understand, no, Prabhuji, that otherwise, again and again, that will be continuing. Like, I should understand that it has been given by Krishna for me to change. That we should know for everything what is happening to us, we should understand that first, no, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, there is one question here. Okay, there are some questions which I may not generally, if it is not directly connected to the class, I request you can, if you don't ask, it would be, you know, someone is asking, you are practicing Krishna consciousness for so long, can you share some realizations? You know, it's not connected to the class. So I would be grateful if you can please ask questions which are relevant to the subject matter that we are discussing here. You know, otherwise it becomes a very generic class and we cannot move ahead, you know. So, yeah, that's my request. Are discussions of creation consistent across the Puranas? I would assume so. Even if there is some slight difference in the descriptions, there will be proper explanations given by the Acharyas explaining why this difference is there. Like, for example, let me give an explanation. Like, for example, in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, this discussion comes. That are universes created at the same time and destroyed at the same time? Or are they created and destroyed at different times? This question comes. Because we do hear that Krishna called for the Brahmas, and different Brahmas had different number of heads. Depending on the number of heads, you know, the size of the universe was different, and the duration and the lifespan of the universe under Brahmaji was different. So if the lifespan is different, then while a particular universe is being created, another universe must be maintained and another universe must be destroyed, right? Because it is like that. And so therefore, if universes have different lifespans, the bigger the universe, the longer is the lifespan. You know, these kind of descriptions are there. So does it mean they are not inhaled and exhaled at the same time? Or does it mean that at the time of dissolution, every universe is dissolved and at the time of creation, every universe is created, that would mean then all the universes have same lifespan. So this is one example I'm giving. So Srila Rupa Goswami addresses this issue that some Puranas seem to describe that there is Samakala Srishti. You know, all universes are same size, same lifespan. So they are created at the same time, destroyed at the same time. This is called as Samakala Srishti. Same time creation, same kind. Samakala Srishti, Samakala Samhara. The same time every universe is created, every universe is destroyed. But on the contrary, there are some Puranas which describe about different universes having different sizes, different lifespans, which means they are created at different times and destroyed at different times. So now the Acharyas say, how do you reconcile this? So Srila Rupa Goswami reconciles by telling that sometimes there is Samakala Srishti and the universes created are of the same size, and sometimes there is there are different universes created with different sizes and different lifespans. So are the descriptions of creation and other processes described across the Puranas the same? Not necessarily, but even if they are different, then why they are different and how you can reconcile, we have to approach the Acharyas to get some clarification on that. Okay, they only can reconcile it for us. So, okay. Yes, Shamli Matli. Yes, Prabhu, Shamli. Yes, Prabhu, I can hear you.
So, just a small question on what we had the discussion with Matali was saying about how karma is for a devotee, it is handled by Krishna. We know of certain pastimes of the Lord, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, like
Prabhu, can you please speak close to the mic?
Yeah, like the there are certain pastimes where we see how certain individuals who had no Shraddha in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but simply just because of their association with devotees, like the tailor who served Shiva Chakur Prabhu. Mm-hmm. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just gave him mercy.
Yeah.
He had no Shraddha in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had no
Correct.
Shraddha in.
There
was no Shraddha component. In. So, mm-hmm. But still, the Lord just. How does that happen? First there has to be Shraddha. No? Then
that is the general proposition. That is the general proposition, but there are exceptions. The exceptions are actually Kripa Siddhi. Where there is exceptional Kripa, the Lord sometimes, or a Vaishnava also sometimes, without seeing any qualification, any Shraddha, they might bestow extraordinary mercy upon some living entities. That is possible. So the prior prerequisite of Shraddha is just a general proposition, but it can sometimes be breached in exceptional cases where some Kripa Siddhi is involved.
Okay, go. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Ramacharya Prabhu.
Dhanrat Prabhu, I just wanted to build on the question that Mataji was asking. In fact, I am also going through same type of a struggle, being almost 25 years in the society. I still have the same emotion, same swabhava, getting hurt, want to do things in the way I like doing, I was just hearing some of your old classes last night from Madhurya Kadambini and Bhakti BBT, and you are saying that bhakti comes from this word bhaja, where we have to engage in devotional services. And when we are engaging in devotional services, we have to interact with personalities, and then all of that emotions floating around. It gets some degree of understanding, as Mataji said, that we are exposed to the same, you know, pleasure and happiness as ordinary people are. And your answer was that we have to act accordingly. And acting, you know, I mean, if there is one thing that I always look at, or similar verses like that, we see that, but it's still the human emotion comes and pain comes and disturbance comes. And sometimes, you know, disturbed with the things that's going around the way you don't want things to go. So I would like to understand in your answer a little bit, if you can help me or help others who has a similar understanding or questions, that how, what exactly you mean by an acting accordingly? Like, what exactly, is there something that we should be all the time reminding ourselves and continue acting? Or?
Yeah, so that is why it is, I mean, I understood some part of your question, but your final question, I am still unable to understand, because you did mention that, yes, sometimes I still respond when I am put in particular situations. I know that I have to act according to the principles of humility, tolerance, etc. But I am not able to act. That is reality. So, that much I understood. So, what exactly is your question, Prabhu?
So, the question is that, Prabhu, you know, ideally, if I would have to just keep my emotion controlled and chant name of Krishna, read a scripture, I'll be happy to do that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, that's not what, you know, our acharyas wants us to do. Their recommendation is that we should be preaching, we should be engaging in devotional services. And while we do that, we get hurt. We have some sort of, you know, pain that we feel. So my question in very nutshell is, you said we should act accordingly. So what exactly you meant by saying act accordingly? Just wanted to have some more expansion from you on that subject.
I'm still trying to understand your question. Act, when did I say act accordingly?
Yeah, you said to Mataji's question,
oh, if
that
we respond, if
you
respond
properly. If,
ah.
If you respond properly, then you'll be fine. Mataji said also,
so
that.
What does it mean to respond properly? That's your question.
Exactly. If you can expand a little bit more on that.
Okay. So, how do we know if we are responding properly? Responding properly,
yes.
Or I would say, how can we respond properly? We can offer prayers. Krishna, how I am put in this difficult situation, how should I respond in a way that it would please you? We can offer those prayers, and Krishna can always guide us from within. But we can also take guidelines from other senior Vaishnavas who are more advanced than us. We can take guidance. Prabhuji, this is the situation that I am in. How should I respond in a way that it befits a devotee? We can always take guidance. So, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra and Prarthana. If we take shelter of these things, then we will get some guidelines as to how to respond. So, even though sometimes you may be misguided also, but still Krishna will appreciate that you chose to take help from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra to respond in a way that would make me happy. Krishna is happy seeing that endeavor from our side. So, so we cannot say, okay, in this particular situation, what is the best way to react? Should I take the responsibility and and get into an argument, or should I say, oh, I will rather stay back and not offend that Vaishnava and let him only do it? What is the best way of doing it? So I cannot, you know, we cannot, you know, answer individual situations. Different situations may be different. In some cases, the best response might be to stay away. In some cases, the best response may be to actually take that responsibility and do something, whatever it is. So, but the point is, are we willing to consult the Guru, Sadhu and Shastras to actually, you know, try to honestly understand what kind of a response would please Krishna? That endeavor actually pleases Krishna. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu, thank you. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu, thank you. You know, the thing is that sometimes you have to act promptly, you know, you have to respond on the spot. And you might not have time to really meditate on the teaching of Guru Shastra and Sadhu, or even do your prayers to the Supreme Lord. And at that time, the action that will come out of you is very much based on your swabhava, or based on your understanding about that subject. So, but
so
I understand.
That is why we cannot respond to situations when they manifest, but under under normal circumstances, we have to we have to keep meditating on Krishna. Please let me act in a way that it pleases you. In that way, we keep offering prayers. Then Krishna, responding to our prayers, may give us the right intelligence at the right time so that we will respond the right way.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dhanyavaad.
Sampaklata Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavaad pranams. Just in line with what you are actually speaking, what I heard is when placed in difficult situations or whatever, it's always like good to see examples or situations around ourselves which are even more worse, in the sense they could be going through a more difficult situation. So by seeing them, we can always understand ki in relation to them, you know, my situation is much better. And the second thing that I also heard is like, you know, in Hindi, there's a saying, jo tapta hai, wo chamakta hai. Like, you know, to remove the impurities from gold, it has to be run through fire. So similarly, Lord is actually purifying us by giving certain situations. Maybe externally it appears that, you know, oh, there is no change in me. Oh, I'm still responding in the same way. But no, when we start contemplating on how we have been earlier and how we are currently, there is definitely some transformation, and all thanks to Guru and Krishna, that does happen. But it's just that, you know, sometimes we also belittle ourselves, ki, no, actually, there's been no change in me. But situations do transform us. And also in relation to others, if we compare, then definitely we understand this is Dukhalem Ashashvatam. We are actually trying to, you know, swim against the wave, against the current. So we are bound to actually feel hurt, or, you know, our ego gets hurt, or, you know, but at the same time, it's purifying us. This is what I've heard from seniors, Prabhuji.
Yeah, thank you, Madhuri. But the point that he was trying to make was, if in a particular situation, how do I respond? How do I know? That was the question. So that the understanding is, I mean, it's not that he's lamenting, oh, I am in this situation, I responded that way. But, you know, how do you know how to respond? Take guidance of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. But of course, if you are feeling bad, then you can always say, oh, I could have been in a more worse situation. Yeah, that is true. That is always there. But here we are talking more about, how do I know how to respond to a particular situation? That was the question.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so let us continue now. Let's start with the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. So in this Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, there is Sambandha, Abideya and Prayojana. Everything is given. The first verse talks about Sambandha. The second verse talks about Abhideya. And the third verse actually talks about Krishna's reciprocation. How Krishna reciprocates to the sincere practice of the sadhaka. That is described in this third verse. Third and fourth verses of the Chatushloki. So, okay. So, famous verses, you all know these verses. Okay, let us. Okay. So, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Aham sarvasya prabhavah. Prabhavah means source, the source of birth. Sarvasya, I am the source of everything. Mattah sarvam pravartate, due to me everything operates. Okay, I am the source of everything, and I am the source of operation of everything also. Aham sarvasya prabhavah mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva. And one who clearly understands this, Buddhaha, he is the intelligent person. Iti matva Buddhaha, the intelligent person who understands this, bhava samanvita, he is endowed with love. Mam bhajante, he worships me. So, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. I am the source of everything. Mattah sarvam pravartate. Everything operates because of me. Iti matva. One who understands this clearly, one who has realized this clearly, Buddhaha, he is intelligent. Bhava samanvitaha mam bhajante. He worships me with love. So, real meaning of understanding Krishna's supremacy, Krishna being the source of everything and Krishna being the source of empowerment of everything as the Paramatma, one who really understands it, how do we know? Bhava samanvita mam bhajante. He will worship me with love. That is the real meaning of understanding. So, if someone understands, someone says, Prabhu, I understand that, fire burns. I understand that fire burns. Okay. How can you say for sure that he has understood that fire burns? Can someone share your thoughts? How do you know that he has understood that fire burns? Can someone share your thoughts? He will be careful while dealing with fire. That's correct. So, So he will act very carefully with fire. He will not go near it. It's not like someone says that, oh, I know fire burns, and he goes and sits right next to the fire. No. He'll be dealing very carefully with it. So similarly, when can someone say, oh yeah, I understand Krishna is the source of everything, and due to Krishna everything operates. I know that. So what does it mean if someone really knows and believes that Krishna is the source of everything, and due to Krishna, everything operates? How do we know? Bhava samanvita mam bhajante. Such a person will worship Krishna with great love. So if someone is not worshipping Krishna with great love, It means he has not yet internalized the fact that Krishna is the source of everything, and due to Krishna, everything operates. So, generally, for all these transcendental subject matters, there are three levels of realizations. Okay. There are three levels of realizations: Jadamaya, Manomaya, and Chinmaya. Jadamaya, Manomaya, and Chinmaya. So, what is, so when a materialistic person, when he hears that, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, or this deity is spiritual, a materialistic person will not believe it. He will see it as matter only. He will see it as matter. This is Jadamaya consciousness. The holy name is spiritual. It is non-different from Krishna. The materialist will say, come on, give me a break. You know, I don't believe it. This is Jadamaya consciousness. Everything in this material world, the source is one person, that is Krishna. Materialist will say, come on, give me a break. You know, I can't believe it. So I see a cockroach, a baby cockroach coming out of the cockroach. I see the calf coming out of a cow. And you are telling everything is coming out of this one person who is herding cows in a village in Uttar Pradesh. Come on. You know, I can't believe it. Okay. So this is Jadamaya consciousness. No faith. So, no faith. Then comes the sadhakas. The sadhakas are, let us take the other extreme example, the perfected devotees who have prema. For them, if you see, the holy name is non-different from Krishna, it is an absolute realization for them. You look at the way they chant the holy names. You know, Namagane Sadaruchi. They wish to chant 24 hours a day. Non-stop they want to chant because they see the holy name actually actually non-different from Krishna. But the holy deity, you know, they deal with the deities in such a way as if the deity is absolutely non-different from Krishna. But if you see the sadhakas are somewhere in between. It's not that the sadhakas do not have, the sadhakas certainly do not think that the deity is matter. But at the same time, they have not realized that the deity is absolutely non-different from Krishna. So they accept the transcendental nature of the deity based on faith, good faith. Yes, the Shastras say that they are non-different from Krishna, so I have to accept it. Okay. The Shastras say that Prasadam is transcendental. I have to accept it. I am not able to see it. But if the Shastras say, they must be correct. That is how Sadhakas accept. So this is called as Manomaya consciousness. Okay. So we may not. So those who have Jadamaya consciousness, they have no understanding, no realization of Krishna being the source of everything, and everything operates due to Krishna. They absolutely don't trust it. Whereas the perfected devotees have realized it. So therefore, Bhava Samanvita Mam Bhajante. So they worship Krishna with great love. But sadhakas, because they are accepting it based on faith, actually they wish to worship Krishna with love. Okay, at least the desire is there. So a materialist, he neither wants to worship Krishna nor he loves Krishna. The perfected devotee, he worships Krishna with love. The sadhaka wishes to worship Krishna with love and tries his best. With love or without love. So, but that is his desire. So, sadhakas are on the path to achieve that realization. Okay. They may not have realized it yet. So, so that's what aham sarvasya prabhavo mattaha sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of everything. Due to me, everything operates. Convinced by this knowledge, the intelligent persons endowed with love worship me. So now let's see what the acharyas say about this. Srila Vishnu Chakraku says, here he speaks of his vibhuti characterized by great power. What is that great power of Krishna? He says, I am the cause of the existence and manifestation of everything, both material and spiritual. Prabhavaha. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. Mattaha sarvam pravartate. And by me, because of me alone in the form of Paramatma, the whole material world operates. Okay. I am the source of everything. And because of me, the whole material universe operates. Okay. As well, because of me alone in the form of the avatars like Narada, all the spiritual sadhanas such as bhakti, jnana, tapas and karma and the goals of these sadhanas operate. Mattaha sarvam pravartate also means because of me in the form of my avatars, I support the practice of the various sadhanas. You know, in the form of Rishabhadev, I teach the path of jnana, and in the form of the four kumaras, I teach the path of jnana. Through Narada Muni, I teach the path of bhakti and help them attain the goals of those sadhanas. He then describes the yoga, which is ananya bhakti. He says, being convinced through faith by this knowledge, iti matva, the intelligent persons endowed with bhava in the forms of dasya, sakya, the other relationships, they worship me. Thus, the vibhuti and the yoga mentioned in the previous verse have been explained in this verse. Etam vibhutim yogam cha mamayo vetti tatvatah so vikalp saha avikalpa yogena yujyate na atra samshayah. He says, so one who understands the nature of my vibhutis and my and who understands devotional service yoga, saha avikalpena yogena yujyate na atra samshayah. He will engage in unflinching devotion towards me. So being convinced through faith by this knowledge, the intelligent persons endowed with bhava in the form of dasya, sakya, or other relationships, they worship me. So which means, what is, so we may not worship with love. As sadhakas, we wish to worship with love. And with whatever love possible, we may try to worship the Supreme Lord, because our understanding is on the level of faith. It's not a realization. It is based on preliminary faith. It is not realization. So therefore, we may not worship him with that kind of love. Bhava samanvita mam bhajante may not necessarily happen in the case of sadhakas. That is fine. But at least that is our goal. That is our desire. like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? There is something in the chat box. Let's take that first. Okay. Okay. One can understand that Krishna is everything, but love for Krishna should be given by Krishna only, isn't it? Yeah. So that's what we mean. So we may not do bhava samanvita bhajan. So bhakti is of two types, or anushilanam is of two types. Like yesterday also we were seeing in the bhakti tattva vivek session. Cheshta rupa anushilanam and bhava rupa anushilanam. Cheshta rupa anushilanam means where there is cheshta, actions using mind, intelligence, sorry, actions using body, mind and words for the pleasure of Krishna. Okay, that is cheshta rupa anushilanam. And bhava rupa anushilanam is actions performed with body, mind and words with spiritual emotions, bhava. So the perfected devotees perform bhava rupa anushilanam. The sadhakas should at least be willing to perform cheshta rupa anushilanam, engagement in in the devotional activities with mind, body and words. Okay, that is bhava rupa anushilanam. So that is cheshta rupa anushilanam. So yes, the love is given by Krishna, but cheshta is something that we could do. Okay, next question. Can you please draw the chart of material creation? How he creates and the jiva, the jivas and the jiva and the devatas? How is the source of Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh? I mean, I don't know how this is in connection with the subject matter that we are discussing here. If you want the creation chart, you can refer to the second canto, fifth chapter. I have shared the chart also in the notes, and the sessions are there in the playlist. So 2.5 point, I guess 21 onwards, you can hear it is there. But now we will not directly discuss about the creation chart, but because it's not directly connected to what we are discussing right now. Okay. Krishna is a source of love in this material world. Am I right? Yeah, ultimately Krishna is a source of everything. But he may not directly be the source. Krishna's Vahiranga Shakti, if we are talking about attraction between people of this world, is Krishna the source? Yes. Indirectly, through the agency of his material energy, Krishna is the source of the so-called attraction between people of this world. But he is not so directly the source of... love. It's not that if we have attraction to some other person, that is directly due to Krishna. It is not directly due to Krishna. Yeah, how Krishna creates the demigods? I heard Indra is opposed, but I read that he created from Indra. Yeah, these are things which are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see that something which is directly connected to our discussion we will take. Otherwise, you know, there is no end. We can keep on discussing so many things. Okay. What is the meaning of Chinmaya consciousness? Chinmaya means transcendental consciousness, where there is absolute realization of the transcendental nature of Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes. It is not just theory which we are accepting based on faith, but one is able to clearly see the transcendental nature of the deity, the transcendental nature of prasadam, the transcendental nature of the holy names, to the extent that when they chant the holy names, immediately tears flow from their eyes. The hair stand on end. All such transcendental emotions develop because they are able to clearly see the non-difference between the holy name and Krishna. Like that. Okay, when sadhaka reaches his goal, means he reaches Goloka. Yeah. He reaches the stage of prema. Yeah. Okay, next question. In Cheshta Rupa Anushilanam, we experience various emotions. What are those emotions? They are not spiritual emotions because we are still sadhakas. But they are there. Okay, this is a very good question. What is it sometimes when we are engaged in, as sadhakas, when we are engaged in some kind of devotional activities, sometimes we may experience some emotions. What are those emotions? Are they material emotions or are they spiritual emotions? Well, you can say it is something like spiritualizing emotions, but they are not yet spiritual. Okay. For example, when we talk about sattvika bhavas means the involuntary bodily response to various kinds of strong emotions. Like sometimes tears start flowing from the eyes, sometimes hair standing on, and sometimes we may feel those things when we are taking darshan of deities, sometimes when we are chanting the holy names. But at the same time, we may see that the reliable symptoms of bhava, which is shantir, avyartakalatvam, viraktir, manashunyata, ashabandha, samutkanta, those nine aspects we may not have. We may not be completely detached from the material things. We may not be not at all wasting time anytime. It's not that 24 hours we have a taste for chanting. So those reliable symptoms may not be there, but sometimes, nevertheless, Prabhuji, really, you know, I don't like to speak about it, but when I heard this particular point from my Guru Maharaj today, literally, you know, without my control, tears started flowing from my eyes. Prabhuji, today morning when I went in front of Gopinathna, when I saw the form of the Lord, I did not plan. Automatically, tears started flowing from my eyes. I did not fake. It is not, you know, I was not trying to fake it. It's real. Yeah, it is real. But is it completely spiritual emotions? No, it's somewhere in between. So, in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, there are three types of sattvika bhavas. Three types of sattvika bhavas. One is called as snigdha. Second is called as digdha. And the third is called as ruksha. So, snigdha sattvika bhava is seen in those who have that sneha, love, at the stage of bhava or prema. They have that natural love for Krishna. Okay. So when they have tears flowing from their eyes, hair standing on end, along with all the reliable symptoms of bhava are also seen in such a person, then that is called as snigdha sattvika bhava. Then there is ruksha sattvika bhava, which means completely dry. Okay. So this is seen in absolutely material emotions. Right? When a mother sees a child and out of natural affection, tears start flowing from the eyes. This is also a type of sattvika bhava, but this is called as ruksha sattvika bhava. It is dry. Why dry? Try because there is no, it is not impelled by transcendental love towards Krishna. Okay. Now, what about we sadhakas? We don't have sneha. And certainly I am not talking about mother looking at the child and crying. No. I am talking about sadhakas going in front of the deities and naturally feeling very strong emotion. I am talking about hearing a particular point from the lecture which deeply touches my heart, and without my control, you know, I feel very emotional. Tears are flowing from my eyes. What is this which the sadhakas feel? This is called as Digda Sattvika Bhavas, which is somewhere in between. Okay. Those emotions may be partially influenced by the spiritual spiritualizing emotions, but at the same time there is some, you know, oftentimes that those tears may also be influenced by some material experiences that we have been going through. You know, we have had a really, we have been going through a really tough time, and then we come in front of the deities and automatically we start crying. How many times you have experienced this? That you look at the deities, tears come, but definitely there is a background of some very tough material situations that we have been going through. So, you know, how many of you have had this experience that you come in front of the Lord, you feel like that, but it also has a material background to it, right? So, therefore, these are called as Digda Sattvika Bhavas. These are not completely spiritual, because we are not crying because of the genuine joy of seeing the beauty of Krishna. It is actually somewhat mixed. You know, yes, I am happy seeing Krishna, but seeing Krishna, my helpless material situation is also impelling. So the tears are not completely due to a material stimulus also, and it is not completely only due to Krishna also. Okay. So these are called as Digda Sattvika Bhavas. They are in between. Like that. So, yes. So our emotions, are they spiritual? There is definitely a potential for future experience of completely spiritual emotions, but right now they cannot be accepted to be really spiritual emotions. Is that okay, Shyamlal Prabhu? Does it answer your question? Is it relevant to your question? Okay, thank you. Okay, next question. In different Puranas, when it is explained that the demigods are all in all, then having faith, which of course is given by Krishna to different worshippers, they worship the demigods with faith. I don't know if this is a comment or a question. I'm not able to understand. In different Puranas, when it is explained that demigods are all in all, then having that faith, which of course is given by Krishna to different worshippers, they worship the demigods with faith. Yeah, I am not able to understand what you're trying to communicate to one. Sorry. Yes. Shyam Mukunda.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Prabhuji, I was just thinking that there also should be given that these demigods is the like aham sarvasya prabho and all that Indra creates everything and all that. Is it like that? Because I have not gone through that.
Is it so explicitly given?
I don't know.
Yeah, I also don't know. I have not studied the other Puranas.
So that came into my mind and I asked this question. Anyways, it's okay.
Okay. So this is the first of the four Chatushloki. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvita. So Krishna says, I am the source of everything. Due to me, everything operates. And iti matva, convinced by this knowledge, Buddha, the intelligent person, bhava samanvita maam bhajante. He worships me with love. Okay, like that. So, of course, as we discussed, as sadhakas, we do not have a realization of this, but we only have a manomaya understanding of this. So, therefore, even though we may engage in bhajan of Krishna, it may not be bhava samanvita bhajan, but it is actually cheshta samanvita bhajan. There is only cheshta, but there is no bhava. But that is fine. That cheshta, when consistently done, will gradually over a period of time lead to bhava. Cheshta rupa anushilanam will gradually lead to bhava rupa anushilanam. So, but it begins with cheshta for us. So, we may not be able to do bhava rupa bhajan, but at least at our level, we can do cheshta rupa bhajan. You know, cheshta rupa anushilanam. That is possible for us. Yes, Shiva Kumar.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, yeah. From this sloka, you explained, Prabhu, the knowledge is different from realization. So devotees at the uttama level, maybe they are realized that they see Krishna everywhere. So my question, yeah. Prabhu, at my level, I am trying to kind of understand, Prabhu, if that realization comes, I feel that wouldn't the motivation go down because the typical example, Prabhu, the Ganga Jal, we take it and we offer it back. Wouldn't that be result in a less motivation, Prabhu, because
less motivation for what?
For doing devotional service or offering to Krishna, because I start seeing everything is him. So what is there for me to offer to him? Everything is his own. So.
Yeah. So, let us take for example, if a child little bit grows up, when a child in the beginning he understands everything belongs to father, but he does not have that evolved form of reciprocation, love, etc. But don't you even see in this world that actually children who develop some kind of appreciation and gratitude towards the parents, even though they may get some pocket money from the parents only, don't you see them actually purchasing some gifts for their own parents?
Okay. True.
So therefore, yes, everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna does not need what I want. But when it comes to love, genuine love, it is not what you can give me, but it is whether you wish to give me something out of your affection. That's what Krishna wants to see. So even in the material world, when a son wants to express his affection towards the father, even though he may know everything belongs to the father, but still, if he tries to give something back to the father will not think, anyway, it belongs to me only. You know, such people are not so heartless, even in this world, that they try to technically or analytically analyze, you know, anyway, it belongs to me only. So, how is it an expression of love? And or the you know the son thinks that anyway it belongs to the father only, I might as well not give it back to him because anyway it belongs to him only. No, the more you know that everything belongs to father, but the father is selflessly willing to share it with me, then as an expression of affection and gratitude, naturally we want to give a part of it back to Krishna as an expression of love, not that we are trying to fulfill some emptiness in him, something which he lacks, I am trying to provide. Not that I am trying to provide. When you give a gift, you are not trying to provide. You are just trying to express your love and affection. That's all. It's not that, you know, I am just trying to, you know, provide you with something. That's not the mood. You know, you just want to express your affection. That's all.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Okay. Yes, Kesha Prem.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams. Prabhuji, regarding this discussion right now, Prabhuji, Shesha Rupa Nisilendam and Bhava Rupa, and you started with fire example, Prabhuji, though we know, like if we know that it will, fire will burn us, we will not go near the fire. But still, in Sadhaka period, theoretically only we know, but still we have not got the love for Krishna we are discussing, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, like this Bhava Rupa, Shesha Rupa is without, I mean, indulging our mind, body and all the things in Krishna's service without emotions. That's what we are discussing, Prabhuji. So continuously, at least
say without emotions.
That's what we discussed yesterday. Yesterday it was the definition you gave, no, Prabhuji, Shesha Rupa Nisilana.
Please go back and hear every word of it. You are missing out some information there.
Is it, Prabhuji? Like without spiritual emotion is Shesha Rupa
and Bhava. Spiritual emotion.
And that's what I say, Prabhuji. That's what I mean. Spiritual, sorry. The spiritual emotion is Shesha Rupa and with spiritual emotion is Bhava Rupa.
Correct.
So, and I have heard Prabhupada telling one should cry for Krishna. And if you're not able to cry that you're not able to cry for Krishna. I heard that, Prabhuji. Like, all these things are, the acharyas are helping us. See, if you continuously do this, one day you will come to the state that you really cry for Krishna. So all these till like I just want to know, is it that anartha is only stopping us from understanding spiritual emotions, Prabhuji? Like after anartha nivritti, a sadhaka will start getting all these things. Is it, Prabhuji? Like what is it? From this jnana, from this theory to practical. So fully we are doing everything as mechanical, like without any emotions now. But we see after Bhava, even the devotees are doing the same process with emotions, spiritual emotions. So is it the anarthas stopping us, Prabhuji?
Not just anarthas.
Mm.
Because even the Nishkama Karma Yogis, they also undergo Anartha Nivritti. The Jnana Yogis also undergo Anartha Nivritti. Like this morning, Shivakumar Prabhu was asking the same.
Yes, Artha Pravritti, we need.
Artha Pravritti is not there. So, so along with Anartha Nivritti, gradual development of favorable attachment to Krishna also happens. And and parallel to that, Anartha Nivritti is also happening. So, both the factors put together, we slowly start developing some genuine emotions towards Krishna.
Prabhuji, my doubt is it 100% like Shraddha, 100% then Bhajan, is it 100% or correspondingly, I heard through some senior devotees, like everything will be happening correspondingly also, like the depending upon the anartha nivritti he undergoes, he may develop some ruchi also, Prabhuji. It's not 100% anartha nivritti. Generally, you will start developing 100% ruchi and 100% ashakti. It is not like that, no, Prabhuji.
No, it's not like that.
So, as the question asked before, that sometimes some people may have, even in the beginning, I mean, some people may be undergoing anatta-nivritti at sufficient level, so they may have some emotions, no, Prabhuji. We cannot comment on that, no, Prabhuji.
We don't
it may happen.
Yeah, that is why it is called as Digda Sattvika Bhavas.
But that was slightly different, Prabhuji. The way you explained is like, whenever we have a materialistic problem, when we come to the God, Lord, in front of Lord, we cry. That I understand, Prabhuji. But genuinely, some may have a feeling for Lord Himself. No, that's the point I'm asking.
It may be there. It may be there. But what is the proof that it is genuine?
That I don't know, Prabhuji, but corresponding, like anatta-nivritti, if someone has undergone anatta-nivritti, then suppose he undergone 20% anatta-nivritti, then he may get 20% ruchi also, no, Prabhuji, so correspondingly.
Yeah, but ruchi is still sadhana bhakti only.
Yeah, Prabhuji, till bhava it is sadhana only. No. 9 process it is given sadhana only, no, Prabhuji.
No, not 9, 7.
7. Oh, bhava is under, is not under sadhana.
No. Bhava is sadhya bhakti.
Oh, I thought only prema. Until bhava, it is in sadhana. I thought so.
No. So, yeah, but if, see, it depends on how you define spiritual emotion. That is why, what is the definition of bhava? You know, when does the living entity really come in touch with the Samvit and Hladini Shakti of Krishna. So that actually it is mentioned according to Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is at the stage of Bhava only. That is the time when the Jiva starts developing some genuine emotions. Before that it is not genuine. The intent of the Jiva is definitely genuine. But whether the emotions are completely spiritualized, we cannot say that. That is why Srila Rupa Goswami, or actually Jiva Goswami, in his commentary, he says, Cheshta Rupa Anushilanam, Bhava Rupa Anushilanam. Cheshta, till one reaches the stage of Bhava, then at the stage of Bhava and Prema, it is called as Bhava Rupa Anushilanam, because the living entity becomes qualified to experience genuine bhava. Because those genuine emotions one can experience when one realizes one's relationship with Krishna. Yeah, but definitely at the stage of ruchi, asakti, etc., you know, those emotions are very ready to be matured into spiritual emotions, but they are still not yet spiritual actually. That is why it is still called as Cheshta Rupa Anushilanam only, not Bhava Rupa Anushilanam.
Yeah, Prabhuji, it is called like that, but I just want to know if someone has undergone sufficient anatta-nivritti and artha pravritti also parallelly. So,
sufficient means how much is sufficient?
I don't know, Prabhuji, I'm asking you that only. Yeah. No, Prabhuji, is it 100%? I'm asking you, is it 100%? It is, then only it will start. We'll get emotions after we achieved that 100%. Or just according to the corresponding to the level of purification one is undergoing, will he have some emotion for the Lord? That is the question. My question is that.
That is why that emotion is called as Digda. It is not completely called as Snigda. So, till it becomes Snigda, it is called Digda. It is not categorized under Ruksha. Ruksha means completely dry, completely material. So, Digda means that it is slightly becoming spiritual, but it is not yet spiritual.
Prabhuji, in Jaiva Dharma, when we are discussing this week, Prabhuji, about Andhakarnasana, we are discussing, and you answered me that even from Shraddha stage, we will start developing that. I was asking you about the spiritual vasanas, no, Prabhuji. You said it will start from Shraddha stage itself. So that is why I am asking, Prabhuji, combining that only.
Spiritual emotions.
Oh, not that vasana. Vasana means artha pravritti only, no, Prabhuji. So spiritual vasana. Yeah. So
Yeah,
I'm
but that is not spiritual emotions. Spiritual emotions means where there is vibhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav, sanchari bhav, and primarily sthayi bhav. So that
Pruji,
would be
all
a
these things are higher, Pruji. I'm not asking, like, at least that
no. So
some
then
feeling
wait.
for
Then,
Krishna.
no, wait. See, your feeling for Krishna, no one is telling it is false.
That is
That is that.
the
But when we are talking about spiritual emotions, there has to be the ingredients of spiritual emotions.
point
Vibhav,
I'm
Anubhav, Sattvika Bhav, Sanchari Bhav, and this thing. If
asking.
the Sthayi Bhav itself is not manifested, then the other bhavas don't exist only.
Correct.
So before that, it is not technically called as spiritual emotions.
Correct.
So if we see, so that's why everything we have to discuss based on definitions. We create our own definitions, then according to that definition, maybe yes, we have some spiritual emotions. But if we have to stick to the definition given by Srila Rupa Goswami, how he defines
Correct.
bhava, then according to that, no. Just like if you say, yeah, Sri Vaishnavas will say that we are practicing pure devotional service, Madhvaites will say we are practicing pure devotional service. But if you take the definition of Srila Rupa Goswami, Anyabhilashita, Shunyam, Jnana Karma, Dhyanavartam, Anukulyena, Krishna, if you take that definition, then according to that, we do understand that their practices would come under the category of Mishra Bhakti and not Shuddha Bhakti. So we have to discuss based on the definitions.
But why I'm asking this now, Prabhuji, it's not that easy to be mechanically doing something and finally landing it. Unless we taste something, and even in my own level, I will not proceed the next day, no, Prabhuji. Something we are tasting, no,
Yeah,
Prabhuji, in our
no.
own level. It's
Yeah,
otherwise,
but
it is very
no,
difficult to proceed.
I'm not telling you're not tasting anything. But that taste is not technically called as bhava.
Yeah,
That's
that I understand, Prabhuji. What you are trying to explain, I'm understanding that it should fit into the definition given by acharyas. So this is still an immature thing, but at
otherwise,
least.
otherwise ruchi is there. Ruchi means what? Where the predominant impetus is coming from a taste that one experiences by the practice of devotional limbs. And then asakti is there. What is asakti? Asakti means the predominant impetus is coming from the desire to please Krishna. So that is there. So does not mean that these desires are not there before that. Yeah, it is there also. Even now, even though we are at the stage of anartha nivritti, the desire to please Krishna is there. We definitely derive some taste from
You're
some of
getting
the
some
limbs of the Krishna.
reciprocation of Prabhuji. Otherwise, we cannot proceed, Prabhuji. That is the point. Like, maybe
I
to
am not
our
denying
own
it at
level.
all. I am not denying it at all. But that is not called as bhava.
Yeah, Prabhuji. What Acharya define as bhava is like entering into relationship with Lord. That is bhava, and that needs maturity. But in our own sadhaka state of this anatta-nivritti stage itself, definitely the Lord is reciprocating, maybe through what maybe now in through Mahamaya only we are contacting him, Prabhuji. Like, so but definitely we are getting reciprocation in our own level, no, Prabhuji, all of us individually.
I'm not denying that fact.
Yes,
I'm not
Prabhuji.
denying that fact. But,
Yes, Prabhuji.
like, for example, I was having a discussion with your husband, you know, the last time I met him.
Yes.
So he was telling, oh, I was sharing, I was asking, what is your specialization? And so many things. Oh, he said, oh, you know so much about dentistry, like that he was
Yes,
telling.
yes, Prem. Yes.
Does it mean I am a dentist?
No.
I am not a dentist, right? So I said, oh, what is your specialization? Is it periodontics? Is it endodontics? Is it ortho or prosto? What it is? He said, oh, it is oral pathology. Oral pathology, is it a clinical branch like that? So he said, you know so much about dentistry. Does it mean I am a dentist? I'm not a dentist, even though I may know certain things about the dental science. but that does not mean I am a dentist. So similarly, dentist means what? First thing, you should have taken biology in your 11th and 12th, and you must have written the exam, NEET exam, passed the NEET exam, and then you know, you must study for 4 years or 5 years, whatever it is, and pass the course, get the certificate, and then you should write PG NEET and pass the exam and take a super take a specialization, do it for 3 years, pass the exam, get the degree, then you can call me an endodontist, periodontist, just because I say that, oh yeah, oh, endodontist means you do root canal, orthodontist means you do braces, you know, that in itself does not, you know, that very preliminary knowledge does not make one into a dentist. So therefore, when we are talking about material science or spiritual science, we talk based on proper definitions. So so here, when we are talking about spiritual emotions, then we are talking about, first thing is Thai Bhava. Thai Bhava means, what is the relation? Is it Vatsalya? Is it Dasya? Is it? But that does not mean, if that is not, that there is absolutely no desire to serve Krishna, no emotion, nothing like, not like that. But it is not in the strictest sense called as spiritual emotions. Like that.
Okay, Prabhuji. I got it, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for Hare Krishna.
Mother Gail.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yeah, following up on this conversation, I just like to clarify, if a person is not having what is technically defined as spiritual emotions, you know, they don't have the sthayi bhava yet, they have not entered bhava stage yet, then it seems to me that if it's not spiritual, then isn't the only alternative, if you are having emotion for Krishna, right, you're still in the sadhana stage, but you are having emotion for Krishna, isn't the only alternative for that emotion to be impelled by the modes?
Yeah. Actually, it is a mixture. That is why it is not spiritual. Actually,
mixture,
it is a mixture.
Of material of both, and spiritual?
Yeah, material and spiritual, both.
So, for that sakti, let's say we're talking about somebody at Ruchi or a sakti, right? For such a person, they could be having some influence of the internal potency, as
or
well
maybe,
as the modes, both.
Yeah, the influence of modes is minimal, but the influence of the spiritual influence is predominant. The influence of the modes is also not completely gone. So
okay, so then therefore, going from that last sadhana stage to bhava, it's not really just a sharp demarcation. You know, like it's either one or the other. It seems to be a kind of gray area.
Yeah, it is a gray area only. It is actually a gray area only. It is not such a sharp demarcation. But certainly, at some point, it is called bhava, and some point, it is still called as asakti only. So,
yeah, it seems like bhava must be once there is no trace of modes, no?
Almost, yeah, true.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you.
Okay, so I wish to move on, but still, how much time do we have? We have just 4 minutes left. So, okay, we could cover one of the four Chatushlokis, but still we got stuck up with so many questions, but I guess it's okay. We will continue this discussion next Friday, Krishna willing. We will go forward and continue this discussion. But for now, thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, श्रीमद् भागवतम श्रीमद् भगवद्गीता की जय। हरे कृष्ण। थैंक यू वेरी मच।